There are many defining moments in church history that we can consider and give God the glory for. And this is why the book of Acts, filled with such history and joy, can give us an idea of the passion and purpose that we can have for Christ, because we can see the formation, the spread, and the growth of the earliest believers and followers of Jesus. And this morning we're going to be studying the next section in the book of Acts that follows Paul in his journey with the Lord. We've seen the spread of the gospel amongst the Jewish people, first of all, in the first few chapters. And today we are going to see the message of the saving work of Christ going beyond merely Jewish men and women. And this is the way that we can begin to see how exactly Abraham, back in the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, can become the father of all nations. Up until this point, the gospel of Jesus Christ has been proclaimed amongst the Jewish people. But now, beginning in chapter 11 of the book of Acts, we see that it spreads, beginning with the Greeks in Antioch. And who is going to be the main missionary worker when they go to Antioch, then to Seleucia, Cyprus, Paphos, and further on from there? The one who had been persecuting the followers of Christ. The one who had been slaying Christians. The one who had approved the death of the first Christian martyr, Stephen. The Apostle Paul, saved and called by Christ Jesus, is now being placed by his Saviour to spread the gospel throughout the world. And here this morning, we are going to see just how this begins by looking at what happens in Antioch and the significance of Paul's being placed here. If you've got your Bibles open, take a look with me first of all at verse 19 of chapter 11. It often escapes our attention that God is at work in remarkable ways at all times, unless it is mentioned explicitly that God is at work. But here we read of an example of God being at work. If we look at verse 19, which says, "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews." In this verse, a very bad thing is happening. Persecution. The purpose of persecuting Christians then, as well as now, is to stamp out Christianity, to deter people, to prevent people from following Jesus, and to prevent the growth of the followers of Christ, to prevent the number of people believing in Jesus from increasing. Back in chapter 7, we read that the first Christian had been martyred, this man Stephen. And now we see the result of this first martyrdom. There is a barrage of attacks on Christians in various parts of Israel. From a worldly perspective, as we see the situation getting worse and worse, we might think, oh no, the church is in trouble. A lot of people aren't going to follow Jesus if it causes this much hassle, and certainly if it means we have to leave our homes. And at the beginning of verse 19, Christians are being scattered. They are being forced to leave their homes. They haven't chosen upon themselves to become missionary workers abroad. It has been forced upon them. It all seems very bleak. Every single one of us can testify to the horrific effect that Satan can have in life, and the way that certain events can be used to turn people away from God. But here in Acts 11, this is not the case. Almighty God uses a bad thing, the persecution of Christians, and uses this as a catalyst for the spiritual and the numerical growth of the church. And God also uses the persecution of Christians to not only further the ministry of the Jewish people, as we see from verse 19, but later in the passage we are told that the word of God then spreads to the Greeks. The divine plan of the Lord is never in question. And here we see yet another example of how all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. Romans 8:28. The Lord has planned all things perfectly, and in a sinful world, the light of Christ can still burn brightly. Here we see in this first verse of our passage that Christians may have been attacked and they may have been scattered in one place or another because of their faith. But this does not stop them. The word of God is then proclaimed in the new homes, in the new places that they go to. They will not be deterred. This word Christian that we see forming in this book, beginning later in this chapter, gives us a reason why this is the case. To be a Christian isn't simply to be religious, but rather it is to be a Christian. Being a Christian is to become a follower of Christ, to follow the example of Jesus' life, to glorify his perfect death and his resurrection. Jesus died to save us from death and to conquer sin and death. And this means that the persecution, the suffering, and even the death that we see here does not hold any fear. Our fear is in the Lord, and this world is the place where we will be used to serve Jesus regardless of earthly circumstances. Acts 11:19 shows us how and why this is the case. A bad thing can be used for God's glory. God's plan is always perfect. The sermon title this morning is Paul Placed by God. Based on even just this first verse that we've considered, we can see how the Lord lays the groundwork for the greatest ministry of anyone bar Jesus Christ himself. Because persecution, the very thing that Saul of Tarsus was doing to the Christians at the beginning of the book of Acts, this is the very reason for Paul's calling and for him being placed to places like Antioch. And persecution is now what he faces as a follower of the Lord. The conversion of Saul in chapter 9 is glorious in that the saving work of Christ is demonstrated so wonderfully, but also because it acts as another example of how God can use somebody who is driven to attack the Lord's work, but now can be used to serve the Lord in furthering his kingdom. Make no mistake, God is always in control, and he is always at work in our life. Life will not always be easy, and it will sometimes knock us down. And not only does our Lord help us through it, but he refines us, even through the upsets and the difficulties, for his glorious purposes. This is the God that we worship today. And once we see that Christ's followers are not deterred by the persecution and that they still proclaim the Gospels to the Jewish people, verse 20 then goes on to add, some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. This is precious. The attempt of the persecutors was to stamp out Christianity. And the outcome? The spread of the church far beyond the Jewish people. Verse 21 begins by saying what? The Lord's hand was with them. Now that is the pivotal part of this first section in this passage of Scripture. God has been with his chosen people from the very beginning. He promised that the people of Israel would be delivered to the promised land, and this was fulfilled. Previous to this, he had promised that Abraham would be the father of many nations. And if we were going to spend time considering this prophecy, then texts like Romans 4 helpfully show us how this can be possible. Abraham's line is not simply about a blood family in Israel. It is about a spiritual family centered around Christ. What Jesus has done is to die for the sins of all mankind. This was the promise, and this is the victory in Christ. But we know from the Acts of the Apostles that this message needed to be told. The Acts of the Apostles are central to the growth of the church because of events like Acts 11. Followers of Jesus are surely bursting with joy at this time. They delight in Jesus. He is their life. They wouldn't risk their lives if he wasn't their lives. And if they have such a joy, with such a delight, with a zeal for Christ to tell the nations about this Saviour, we can begin to understand how and why the church spread so quickly. The Jewish people here are critical to the story of the Bible and the saving work of Christ. But Jesus didn't simply die for the Jewish people, he died for everyone. If we consider this theme of spreading the good news of Christ in a bit more detail now, why does this church, why do so many Christians place such an emphasis on church mission? The answer can be taken straight from texts like the one today. We're going to be thinking shortly about how the Apostle Paul was placed by God. And like Paul, every one of us is guided and called and placed by the Lord to move in a certain direction, to walk according to his plan, to go to the place that he calls us. This does not mean that we stay at home, sit quite comfortably, and wait for our promotion to heaven. We may be called to minister to to witness to people that do not know the Lord, in the schools, in the universities, in the factories or the offices, in this very city where we work and where we serve. We may be called to move away from Aberdeen to another part of Britain. We may even be called to go abroad and to preach to the unreached peoples. God does not make a mistake, and circumstances that unfold, directions in which we are led, they are all used by him. And like with men such as Paul, we have a duty and we should have that desire to tell people about Jesus. There are billions of people in the world today that do not know Jesus, millions of whom haven't even heard about Jesus before. This is a world today that is crying out for true happiness, and happiness that will not be found in a bottle or in a purse or a wallet, and it will not be found in a temple in front of some statues. Jesus Christ is key, and the hand of the Lord must be upon us. Following the will of God and not following the will of man is central to a life of faith. The early workers for Christ, like Paul and Barnabas, were soaking themselves in Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. This is what it is about. He is what it is about. Life in Christ, the center of our souls. As we're looking through chapter 11, the news of the spreading of the church gets back to those in Jerusalem. This good news about Jesus Christ cannot be stopped. The church, as a result, then decides, first of all, to send this man Barnabas. Barnabas is often described as and known as the son of encouragement. And there are so many wonderful things that could be said about this man of faith. If you were to spend a wee while looking through the book of Acts, Barnabas appears a lot throughout this book, but he's never in the limelight, so to speak. Barnabas is often a background figure, and his gifts lay in building people up in their faith, encouraging them in the gifts that they have and the walk that they have with the Lord. The church in Jerusalem would have likely sent him because of these gifts that Barnabas had. And here we see in verse 24 that he was full of the Holy Spirit. Now that's key. Because the result of Barnabas' arrival in ministry, similar to what we see in verses 19 and 20, is that great numbers of people turn to the Lord. They believe in Jesus and they turn to the Lord. This is mentioned in verse 21 and then again in verse 24. God is at work and souls are being converted and the gospel message is being spread. And as we arrive to verse 25, we now turn our attention to Paul. At this time, so many great things are happening, not only in Israel, but also now in Antioch. The word is spreading at this point. And before we even look at the rest of the text, let's just create a sort of setting for Paul's introduction to the world of mission. Because there are two things we need to realize about Paul before he goes to this place. And the first one, quite obviously, is that he is quite young and he is new to his faith. So he is being introduced to a world of newness here. And certainly there would have been elements of uncertainty, but also excitement as he embarked on a new direction, which was with the Lord. And the second point comes back in chapter 9 when we see that he has a gift of preaching and ministering the truth about Jesus Christ crucified. The impact of his conversion has literally transformed his life. And this is important to note because although Paul may be young in his faith, although he may be inexperienced, there is an enthusiasm and a passion and a burning desire in his heart to serve God and to tell the people about Jesus. This was at the very heart of Paul from chapter 9 onwards and consequently at the heart of God's plan for his life. Now you might still ask, why Paul? Barnabas could have easily picked an equally good preacher that has lived his life without embarking on killing Christians. What would make Paul so special? How would we respond to that question? The first and foremost response would be simply to point back to the fact that it is the will of God. If it is God's plan, we know that it is perfect. But looking through the book of Acts and unpacking the ministry of Paul, it can help us to draw conclusions as to why God planned the growth of the church in this way. Why he placed Paul in Antioch and then throughout the world. The transformation that we see in the life of Paul, beginning in chapter 9, from being against Christ to for Christ, from being a persecutor of Christians to a persecuted Christian, is quite striking for the world to see. God Almighty uses numbers of people that have walked on a fairly godly path, although still stumbling and falling in sin, but equally, not openly and consistently, living against our Lord. Generally speaking, most people will walk generally towards God's path, though they may sin. But our Lord is showing here, with this example of Paul, that even the most unrepentant sinner, even the biggest enemy of the church, can become something so special and so precious to the church and to Jesus. Paul's life shows us that the mercy of Jesus, and it shows us that the love of Jesus, is not out with the reach of anyone or anything. Paul is being placed in Antioch with the experience of both camps. He knows what it is like to face persecution, but equally he knows what it is like to persecute Christians. But here in Acts 11, his experience and his zeal for the Lord could be used so much, and Barnabas sees this faith and he knows of the gifts of this man of faith. Remember back to verse 24, the Spirit is with Barnabas. God is revealing who he wants to be sent to Antioch. And that man is Paul being placed here at this time. So verse 25 teaches us that Barnabas went looking for Saul of Tarsus. Barnabas has seen the growth of the church here. Many people are coming to the Lord. And now he wants to include this man Saul, who is renamed Paul. It's important to see just how important Paul's calling was by the Lord by looking at this one example here in Acts 11. Note that many people have turned to the Lord, and then Paul is called and placed here after this has happened. Some enthusiastic evangelists may argue that a special, faithful, gifted believer like Paul should go to a place where the gospel has not been proclaimed, so that he can be used more effectively to win people to Christ. And this could be deemed a fair point. We know that Paul was called to spread the good news to unbelieving hearts and nations. This was part of God's divine plan for the Apostle Paul. But also we see in Acts and in many of Paul's letters that he revisited churches and he ensured the spiritual growth of believers. In life today, there is no point working hard to seal your place at university, or there's no point doing well to get a job and then not turning up. Equally, confessing Jesus as Lord, though it isn't of any work by ourselves, and then forgetting about him is also futile. This would not and cannot be true salvation. Paul's calling was so special and of such divine appointment that he was called to help Christians to learn more about Jesus, to benefit from his insight, from the teaching, the spiritual maturity of this unique follower of Jesus. In a modern day example, like in China today, there are thousands of people committing their lives to Christ each day. And this is a staggering and it's a wonderful statistic to hear. But one of the biggest concerns in a place like this for young believers, young in age and certainly young in faith, is their spiritual growth. There's a lot of false teaching and a serious lack of basic understanding of what the Bible is about. And China, like the early church in places like Antioch, is crying out for teaching and growth in their understanding and in their faithfulness, in their calling and their direction with God. In life, we need to build on what we have with Jesus, building up a relationship with him so that we are used more effectively and we are better equipped to deal with things like persecution, as we noted in verse 19. Paul is being placed here in Antioch because he has had time to grow in his faith and his gifts so that he would be used more effectively by the Lord. It is about the salvation of the unreached peoples and about the sanctification of those who turn to the Lord. And when Barnabas takes Paul to Antioch, what do? Well, verse 26 shows us that they met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. These are massive steps being taken here as the saving work of Christ is spreading rapidly. And Paul's ministry, with the support and the encouragement from Barnabas, is key to this. Paul may have been teaching followers of Jesus so that they in turn could teach others about him, as well as teaching unbelievers. And certainly, Paul was there for a substantial period of time to give them this spiritual food. Learning more about the life of Christ, linking it in with the Old Testament, learning more about the sovereign will of God and how to live as Christians following Jesus and not following the world. Paul has been placed here. He is walking with God, and this advance of the gospel means that they are not only learning about Jesus and how they are saved, but they are also deepening their understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus and how to live with Christ at the center of their hearts. Notice at the end of the verse it says that the disciples are called Christians. And following, they called Christians first at Antioch. This word Christian only appears three times in the Bible. First of all, here in this chapter. And the word itself is significant because of the very essence of it. Christ is in the title. And it is often a title given to help us to understand what we are and how to live. To be a disciple of the Lord, to be a follower of the Lord, as we read in verse 26, is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And this is what our faith and our very life is about. It isn't simply about being part of a world religion. It is a walking relationship with Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord. And this is the truth that we need to proclaim within our hearts. And this is the truth that the Christians in Antioch needed to know. They, like we here today, are called to follow and serve Jesus. And this is why Paul's purpose, beginning here, was of such great significance. A special direction, a perfect plan, according to the will of God. We focus here today on the spread of the gospel beyond Jewish people. But we also see the sanctification of the non-Jewish, Christ-abiding believers. Paul was placed in Antioch, as he was placed in Galatia, Corinth, Ephesus, and so many other places to lay the foundations and then to build the foundations. This is the starting point, the stepping stone in Paul's missionary journey with Jesus. And just before we consider this passage as a whole, if you just scroll your eyes down to the finale of this chapter. When I first read this, I thought it was a rather strange follow-up to what we have seen from Barnabas and Paul in the preceding verses and chapters. But if we look at it closely, then we can see that the will of God continues to unfold majestically. In verse 27, some Jewish prophets arrive in Antioch. Important to note, here are many believers with particular gifts from God. Jesus is working in the hearts of all his followers and using them in their different gifts and purposes. We keep seeing this again and again throughout the book of Acts. So these prophets arrive, and this man named Agabus prophesies about a famine that will affect the Roman Empire. If you were to study the Roman Empire, before the rule of Constantine in the 4th century, the Roman Empire ultimately persecuted groups that opposed their seemingly invincible rule. And this included persecuting the surging rise of Christians. But by this prophecy, by this famine that awaits, the Roman Empire, though it's so powerful in its rule, would have its power buckle from underneath because of a natural disaster that is outwith their control. God displays his sovereignty and his ultimate power as the only rock, the only thing that is truly invincible and will not buckle. So often we'll see mankind rise in power and status, only to have something like a recession or a bereavement or a disaster that they cannot foresee to dramatically change everything. This is why Christians place their hope in God. And by this prophecy, we can see by the power of the gospel that it would ultimately carry even more weight. Christians are not stopped by suffering, by those that are trying to kill them. Like the example of Stephen, even in death, Christ reigns. And this is the victory that we see at the end of this chapter. At the very end here, Christians are pulling together. They're supporting one another, giving encouragement and purpose in the face of adversity. What would Christians do in a famine if there's not enough to survive? Well, similar to Christians that face persecution and a change in their circumstances, they turn to the Lord. The very heart of Christianity is about a Saviour who suffered, a Saviour who died, a Saviour who reigns victorious, that promises that same victory with him in glory. This is our trust when life seems difficult. We cannot escape hardship, but we have Jesus Christ to help us and to strengthen us through it. And Paul, being placed here in Antioch, was of such significance, and it was of such importance here in this place, because new believers needed to learn of this. They needed to grow in the presence of Christ through times of adversity. Paul was used to give them the spiritual teaching, the understanding, the depth of faith to truly trust in and follow Christ. Paul and Barnabas here are being used mightily by the Lord through these various situations that we see in Antioch and later in other places in Acts. God places Paul in many different locations, and Paul develops a heart for these groups of believers. Like Jesus, who has a heart for us, there is a care and a desire for our spiritual nourishment, for our spiritual growth with the Lord. Paul went to Antioch in parts of Judea and then further away from Israel to lay this foundation, which was part of the history of the church that we are part of today. Paul would have been learning all too quickly of the realities of the sinfulness that exists in the world, including against Christians. Disasters that can arise against man. Disasters that can arise because of man, because of nature, because of circumstances outwith our control. But we praise God that he sits on his throne and is a refining fire, as Malachi 3:3 states, God is there to perfect us each day in day-to-day living with the Lord. And he uses men like Paul. He places men like Paul in situations like this to effectively help us and to encourage us to use one another to ensure that we are growing with the Lord. Here today, we are living in unity with one another because God has placed us in situations and has given us this purpose. All throughout the Bible, all throughout Acts 11, it is the perfect, omnipotent will of God that is unfolding. And this is because the world, though it may be difficult and hard at times, we know that ultimately we have a purpose and a direction which comes from the Lord. That intimacy with Jesus, though we don't know the bigger picture, we can trust in Jesus Christ our Lord, who knows that bigger picture. He knows what our plan is for this life, and he will guide us and use us according to the Lord's perfect will. We literally have Jesus Christ to thank for everything. The Apostle Paul, the son of encouragement Barnabas, disciples such as Peter and many other followers of the book in the book of Acts, are soaking themselves in the Lord. And their example can be our example. A life with Jesus is about change. It is about a walking path which has been set forth that we can stick to according to the direction that we have from God. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his footsteps. Proverbs 16:9, we will have wobbles. There will be uncertainty that lies ahead. But we can look to the examples like Paul, we can see how he and many others focused on God's purpose. And though that meant suffering, though that meant persecution, they were not shaken because such was God's presence in their hearts. And such can be God's presence in our hearts this day. Paul didn't know that he would face beatings, intimidation, imprisonment, humiliation, and fierce opposition when he became a passionate preacher of the word. And yet Paul is still a servant of Christ. He was placed by God. And we must, as a congregation, desire to follow the directions and the callings of our Lord. The only thing that we can trust in fully is the stable reality that we have in God. Paul knew it, Barnabas knew it, the first Christians in Antioch grew and learned and knew it. Even in death, Christ is proclaimed. And this is because Christ is the greatest treasure that we have. He is everything to us. And so in our thoughts this morning, the next chapter of the Acts of the Apostles has unfolded in such a perfect, God-centered way. The ministry of the Word of God and the salvation that we have in Christ has now been reached to groups of people beyond the Jewish communities. It is spreading far and wide. And here this morning, we see that the Apostle Paul played an integral part on God's almighty plan for the good news of Christ Jesus to be made known to the nations. And we have seen not only that we have a salvation that is about proclamation, but there is a salvation that means sanctification with the Lord. A perfecting relationship with Jesus. Today, in a world where so many people do not follow Jesus and simply reject the good news as if it's ancient claptrap that is of no relevance to them, how are we as Christians, followers of Jesus, going to live our lives? Are we simply going to sit around and leave the work of Christ for someone else? Will we simply wait until heaven comes and we experience the benefits that Christ has promised us? No. We will go to the place where we have been called by the Lord. We can truly follow the plan that God has for each and every one of us. For many of us, it is right here in this city. We have been placed here. It's not an accident. It is a privilege and it is a joy to be able to serve the Lord Jesus. And we cannot simply ignore or reject that. Because our life is with the Lord and our life is about the Lord Jesus in our hearts. It is about the growth with Him and it is about others being able to grow in their faith with Him. Teaching people who do not know God. Teaching people about Jesus. Paul was placed in some of these different areas like Antioch for these very purposes. And we each have an individual and divine calling from God. Our gift does not have to be in preaching or necessarily in encouragement first and foremost for us to serve the Lord. We are all valuable to the Lord, and we are all placed here with a purpose. The purpose of the will of God. And so let's take this example of Paul and the glorious unfolding of the sovereign plan of God to forward us in our Christian life. We are Christ-centered believers walking with Jesus at the center of our hearts and lives. And so we can truly praise Him and give glory to Him that we have such a calling. We have such a purpose in the place that we live. And that is for Jesus. All for Jesus. The Saviour of Paul. The Saviour of Christians in Antioch. The Saviour of you and I here today. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much that Paul's calling, his being placed in places like Antioch, can give us such encouragement and example in our hearts today. Father, we see how even persecution and suffering and death did not stop Christianity from spreading. It did not stop men like Paul and Barnabas from spreading the good news and ensuring the spiritual growth of your church. And so may you use the church history in the Acts of the Apostles. May you use the example of your perfect will unfolding in your precious word to inspire us, to encourage us, to build us up with a passion for you, O God. And we thank you that we can trust in you fully in all things, for it is for Jesus' sake that we pray and for your glory. Amen.